Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for another day that He has made. God is doing great things, even wonderful things, among those that trust Him and love Him and seek His face. The Lord is good, and He is He wants to be found by His people. You know, just like we love our children and we want them to come around on their own, not just when they need something, and just, you know, chill with us and talk to us and have a good time. Cookouts, you know, when they're grown and they leave, you know, we want them to live a healthy life. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them have children, you know, and still enjoy them as people. Well, God is no different. You know, every relationship is a representation to our love relationship with the Lord. You know, even among friends, there's a mutual trust and respect. And the ones that come around when they're in trouble all the time, and then they leave and never come back till they're in trouble again, you know, that's not the way to be. But God loves us, even though we get in trouble, even though we seek Him in trouble. But He loves us. And if we believe Him, and we can always enjoy His company. He has a lot to talk about. He's not just about good and bad. He's not just about heaven and hell. There's a whole lot more to God than those kind of things. And I thank God for being my God, my King. I love Him, and I like being around Him. He's not just about ministry. You know, the Lord is fun to be around. I love the things. I love asking Him questions and hearing what He has to say and talking to Him about whatever He brings to my attention and helping me understand people. And in the frame of love, it's all about love. It's all about loving like He does. You understand so much more in this life when you love people. When you love people, especially when they need you to love them, when they have trouble and you care about them, you sincerely care about their needs and what's going on in their life as a true friend. When that kind of love brings about a knowledge that you can't get any other way, and your vision increases, the way you see people increases, you see people in another light. And then it helps you to believe God in your situation, because God sees you as a friend that needs Him, as your child that needs Him, somebody that He cares about. It's easy for me to believe that God loves me when I love others. When I'm in a position to help other people, I try to do so. And then when I need God, I believe that He's with me, and I know that He's motivated to help me. Now, we still dealing with Saul, King Saul. You know, this is about how God anoints people. And just because people are anointed, sometimes people put them on a pedestal as if they would never sin again. But the last few website broadcasts, we've been talking about how when your love change, when your focus, if your love change, your focus will change. If you start looking down on people, remember, the way we love God is no different than the way we love people. If, you know, the way we treat our fellow man, the way we feel in our heart, if we don't make the right adjustments, we can think negatively about people, and we simultaneously think negatively about God. But when we love people, our love for God changes. Our mature love towards people helps us to mature in our love walk with God. The way we love God is no different than the way we love people, according to John. John explains this. I think it's in 1 John. He explains it well, and he's right. So, if whenever I'm in a position to help people, I want to do that. And the way I see the anointing that God gave me, I want to use it. See, the anointing, it increases when you use it. You learn more when you use it in the right attitude, to love, to help people. It's not about being some kind of new king over people, or having some kind of authority over people, or having people look up to you. Remember, we're complete in Him. We don't need all that. That's foolishness. That's for people that, you know, that's what Satan does. You know, he feeds on that kind of drama. That's all it is drama. I don't want people to look at me anyway. I want them to see Jesus. All the people I love and care about and respect, I thank God for all that they have to say, all the way that they help me with their anointing. I thank God for my pastor, but I look unto Jesus. And when he speaks, when the Lord give him something to say, I catch it. Every time the Lord give him something to say, I catch it. Because I'm looking at Jesus. And when he says something, I catch it. I receive it. I quickly. But I've been around pastors, they thrive on people looking to them. And they're the most miserable pastors I ever seen. All the ones that try to get, that they have a drive after the attention of man. They put themselves in the worst position, and they are the most miserable. But people who look to Jesus, there's no, you know, they enjoy life. They enjoy it every day. They're not in a hurry for Jesus to come back, because they enjoy their life. They don't. They hate to see people suffer because of man's backslidden condition, and the way people trust the world so much is making it's, you know, it's a vexation of spirit to watch it. But you can still enjoy your time with the Lord and still be a blessing to people. You can still be the light of the world, and what the world do has nothing to do with you. You can override all that, be the light anyway. And people that are sincere will get saved. And you know, I believe in enjoying life. And years ago, I was around preachers that wanted attention. They wanted to be the best. They wanted to be the big shot. I said, Lord, I don't want any of that. I'm tired of this. I said, do you have anybody that want to follow you? I said, that's where I want to be. And I said, in fact, I'm not concerned about ministry. Ministry will take care of itself. I said, Lord, teach me how to live. See, when you follow God, He will position you. And remember, the format is in the instruction. If you're in obedience, the format will unfold. You'll know what to do. The Lord will guide you. And until he reveals something specific to do, just do what you know to do. Seek to be a blessing to people. And if he didn't call you to the ministry, and if there's nothing that God gave, no assignments or anything, pray for people. Start with the people that need you the most. Just pray for them. Study the word, enjoy your relationship with the Lord, and pray for needs that you see in others. And ask God for how you can help. And then whatever the Lord give you to do, do that. Now remember, as Christians, as people, God don't expect us to do everything for everybody. In fact, he taught me in business that people can take care of themselves. They don't need you to do their work. I fix cars for money. You know, I'm a mechanic, a businessman. That's what I do in business. And sometimes people need me to help them. But God wants them to pay me. He didn't tell me to take care of everybody just because he called me to the ministry. No. Remember, Peter sold the fish and he preached the gospel free. So there were times people would want me to fix their car for free. I say, look. They say, ain't you a preacher? Yeah, I'm a preacher. I said, Peter sold the fish and he preached the gospel free. Now, I'm sure when he passed by a widow woman that needed some food, I'm sure He gave her some fish. Because that's what he had. Now, if there's a person that really needs help, I don't mind helping. But I'm not trying to, some people have the attitude, well, since you're a preacher, you're just supposed to help everybody. You can put my heater core in free. No, I'm not going to put your heater core in free. It takes two or three days to do that sometimes. But the ministry, Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. And that's what I do. Everything I write and minister is free to you. All I want you to do is use it and share it with others. And every need I have, I ask the Lord, and he'll supply it. And when people donate, I thank God for it, because I need it sometimes. I need it. Everything's expensive. But I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do the assignment he gave. There are people that need to hear what God is saying, because people go to church. Churches are not always writing up views and ways. People get hurt. People stop going to church because they went and got hurt, because people got in pride and they acted like Satan. They acted like Lucifer did. They wanted all the attention. Instead of leading people to Jesus, they lead them to Jesus, but they want the honor of being over people's lives, a pastor, as if they're some kind of king. Anointed people can get off track. And that's what we've been talking about. King Saul. King Saul started out great. The Lord called him. He was doing right. He had no evil intentions when the Lord called him. But remember, several broadcasts ago, I mentioned how the Lord will call people. And God has what you call a foreknowledge. He knows what people are going to do. But when he called a person to the ministry, and knowing that they will fail, or that they may fail, or there's a chance they'll fail, he called them anyway. And he works with his people. He loves them. He has, he don't judge a person until they change. And if you are his, not only his children and his son or daughter, you are also his creation. And as a creator, he has a right to tell you what to do. And you have a right to do it or not. And if you don't, there are consequences. If you do, there are rewards. It's that simple. God has a right to ask us to do anything that he needs us to do. So when he anoints people to do something, they know that they're supposed to do what he said do. In fact, he only anoints people that are mature, able to do what's right. They are mature enough, all they have to do is continue. Now, whether they continue or not is totally up to them. They may or may not do the will of God. If they do, there'll be great rewards. If they don't, there'll be consequences. If they do evil, they walked out of the kingdom. Now the Laodicean church, they left their first love, which caused them to be an enemy to the Lord, just like King Saul became an enemy to the Lord. He tried to kill God's anointed. Now David didn't kill God's anointed. But the influence to do wrong was there in him, because he loved his position more than he loved God. The Lord has me doing this because a lot of people have gotten hurt because of this, because of the same thing. This is important to know. I'm kind of learning as I teach this, because this is the direction the Lord took me in. Now, remember, we just read about how David cut off Solomon's robe, and then he went and he ran into a man named Nabal. He had many livestock. We read it last broadcast. But we made it to verse 18. David was asking Nabal, who was a man inside it that lived within his kingdom. David knew he was anointed to be king, and he asked Nabal for help because he had so many thousand sheep and so many thousand cattle, and he wanted help. Nabal should have helped him. God would have blessed him. So David decided, since Nabal was very mean to him, we covered that in the last broadcast, so we're going to pick up at verse 18. Now David's ready to kill Nabal and take what he wants. This is a false move. But David, sometimes people don't, because they live, he saw, this is what he saw in Saul. Saul would kill to get what he needed. And it was seen as normal. In David's world, it was normal for a king to act like this. So he decided to act like this. Now David's anointed. And he thought he was right. And sometimes the Lord, you know, in life, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, what Abigail did for David is similar to what the Lord will do for us by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're wrong and we need guidance. Or the Lord will show us a better way to do what we're doing when we're wrong or when we're right. All right, verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses, which are donkeys. Verse 19. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, and go on before me. Behold, I come after you. Let me read that again. Verse 19. I got stumbled up. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on her ass, the donkey, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained to him. And he hath requited me evil for good. So David's offended. Verse 22. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light, any that pisses against the wall. And David is determined to kill this man and everybody with him. Alright. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off her ass, her donkey, and fell before David on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and fell at his feet, and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, seeing the Lord has withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be his neighbor. And now, this blessing which thine handmaid has brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. She said, verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out, as out of the middle of a sling. And David knew a lot about slings, because that's what he used to kill Goliath. Verse 30, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless. For that my Lord hath avenged himself, but when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Verse 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there shall not have been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. He was going to kill all the men. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. Now Abigail did something. She guided David in the right way against the evil path. If he would have done that, that would have been a snap to him. And he saw that out of what she had said. You know, when you have a king, the subjects of the king have no rights. They're not free. It's not like this country where everybody's free. In a kingdom, you're not free. You do what the king say do, period. You don't have any rights. Now, morally, they had, you know, good kings, they are moral. But when a king say go to war, you go to war. When the king say go to work, you go to work. You do what the king say do. Now, God is our king, and we're supposed to do what he say do. But our God is faithful. He loves us. David was a king, and he had to learn to be faithful like God is faithful. And Abigail helped him learn that. See, as Americans, when we read this, we say, you know, we don't understand kings like other people of other countries. And most of the time, kings get full of the devil, and it's just a big mess. That's why they founded this country, because they understood that men cannot be trusted to have power. You have to be trained by the Lord and willing to learn in order to use power. And then the Lord Jesus turned around and made his people kings and priests. We're kings and we're priests. We have the authority to operate in the earth, and to restore the earth, and to occupy it till he come. And we have the representation. We represent people of God, and we represent God to people. We operate in his name. We become extensions of His love, extensions of His wisdom, extensions of His purity, extensions of His power. We lay our hands on sick, and Jesus backs us up because we're yoked together with Him. Now, our part of the deal is easy, but Jesus backs us up. And the Holy Spirit guides us. Now, Abigail guided David. Now, she did it as a servant. The Holy Spirit comes to us. He's God. He's the heart of God. But He comes gentle like a dove. If you fail to honor the guidance of God, He will stop talking to you until you start mixing faith with His words. The Holy Spirit is very powerful, but He's gentle. He comes like a dove. He came to Jesus. John saw Him light on Jesus like a dove and remained. Now, you have to live a life that attracts the Holy Spirit. It's an honor to have Him guiding you. If you harden your heart, you won't notice His presence. Now, He'll never leave or forsake you. But if you walk away, you walked away. His presence is not always revealed to us. It's revealed when we honor Him. Sometimes He can't help but reveal it. Because we honor Him. We love it. We love our brothers. But slandering people, he can't rest on you that way. Having meanness in your heart against people, He can't rest on you like that. Not in that condition. If He remains, it's because you love people regardless. It's because you walk in His way. It's because you're seeking the heart of God's will. Especially when you write God a blank check and you mean it. When you operate by faith. These are the things that attract the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You activate Him. Just like people that are hungry, they activate the anointing. Proud people repel it. When I'm around proud people, all the revelation is like God put it in a suitcase and lock it up. Till they leave. You know, doing these website broadcasts, they're the easiest teachings I ever do. And I learn more because hungry people are listening. Hungry people activate the anointing of God. They attract the Holy Spirit. Now, watch what happened. David learned something from this situation. All right, now remember, Nabal was out. He was eating, and he got himself drunk, and he was about to get himself killed. But his wife actually saved his life. Verse 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as stone. And it came to pass about 10 days. After that, the Lord smote Nabal that he died. This man was so frustrated with what his wife did that it's like his heart just stopped. And 10 days later, the Lord smote Nabal that he died. He disrespected the king. He dishonored the anointed. And the Lord took him out. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil, for the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee with him, to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of thy servants of my Lord." This was a very humble woman, a woman of wisdom. You know, she represents the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the tender kindness of the Holy Spirit. Just like a dove. She was willing to wash the feet of David's servants, though she was his wife. You know, I heard a story just this week about some of the college coaches. And one coach's wife, and this is, I forgot which one, but she would go out and serve Gatorade to the team. And some of them would be in the coach box. They wouldn't help, they just, they're not like that. But the wife he was talking about, she would come down and serve Gatorade to the teammates. Now this is, you know, a college team. It's a prominent team too. They win a lot. This is the kind of person that stands out. People that act on sincere love. This is Abigail. This is exactly what she did. And verse 43. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. And Saul had given Michal and his daughter David's wife to Phalti, the son of Laish, which is of Gidom. Now, Saul gave away David's wife. He was trying to hurt David every way he could. This is, you know, working evil and being anointed don't mix. But this broadcast is to show the works of the Laodicean church. It is treacherous. It is an enemy. Now, I'm out of time again. But the Lord is not. He'll continue to teach and bless those who want to know him. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.